to me whether you feel that it's kedai for us to take, let's say, the first 10 minutes of our being together and using it for those kind of questions, maybe even 15 minutes? Anybody have any feelings about this?
Sounds like an excellent idea.
Okay, that's one good response. Anybody else?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if I've applied enough thought to come up with meaningful questions for tonight, but
right,
in general, I think it would be a great idea.
Yeah, it's a bit last minute notification, I know. But so we couldn't go wrong trying it. So maybe this time. Okay, you're beautiful enough. You don't have to keep taking over the whole screen. I don't know how that's happening. I don't see you, Abe. So shall we indeed go ahead with the, where's the loud humming sound coming from? Maybe, Chaim, you want to try, let's see if it's coming from me or not. Okay, it just went away when either Abe or Chaim put themselves on mute. Do you want to come, Moshe, and ask your questions? But are they the kind of questions that will interest other people? Are they just details? I mean, we didn't have a chance. Great. Okay. We didn't have a chance to think very much about it, did you?
I think I have one or two that might be
good. Oh, you brought the safer bag.
Yeah.
Thanks. Okay. So, fine. Then sit down over here, maybe. And people can see you that way.
Okay.
And let's go from there.
So.
No hesitation, sir. Straight and clear.
There's a great way to start. There's a few general questions that don't have to do directly with Nehemia that might be kedai just to talk about it, maybe address. And then there's one or two things I noticed in the parak itself.
So
first of all...
Or you'll allow me to use my judgment as to whether they have general interest.
I don't want to go and bore anyone. One thing was just in terms of, is there any specific hachana in terms of what people should put in, especially with what Rabbi's just saying now about this being
maybe
a more intensive,
a little louder,
about this being an intensive session with people. In other words, but that people are supposed to be able to add things to the plate in a sense, with the questions and answers that we're going to have before, or the input that people can put in.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is whether there's a kind of initial investment that they should be putting in. Let's say going through the parak themselves with the first one, or whether there's some kind of...
I don't think that's necessary. I think the response should be to the time that we spent together the week before.
Okay.
Yeah, because that way we can continually adjust as we go along. We can... That way the next year will undoubtedly be based on the issues that we raised, and we'll be looking for them and so on. That way it's a give and take. Otherwise it's going to be disassociated. We're trying to do something where everybody can be involved.
Right.
That was the whole idea.
Okay,
so do you have something?
Yeah.
Do you want to start with?
Yes. One thing was just looking at the tefillah that Nehemiah is bringing, the Aznecha Kashevet, which we have at the beginning and at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Can
you just point to it so everybody can see it immediately? Pasuk Vav, you're talking about at
right.
the beginning.
Pasuk Vav
and Pasuk
Yudah.
Okay. So get used to doing that. Every that way, everybody will do that, and we'll all be on the same page.
Right.
So the question is.
So the question is. What's he trying to tell us Lidoros here in a tefillah where he tells Hashem, please listen with your ears, like what's to have the same bakasha at the beginning at the end seems to have like little sense in terms of like if this is supposed to be a sefer that's written Lidoros, it's supposed to be giving us
okay that we understand.
Yeah,
we
fine.
Have to give a lecture each time.
Yeah, yeah,
it. Obviously it has to be important. Yeah,
right.
Okay, so that's your question. So let me just point out that first of all, they really are not similar because they're addressed to two different midas. You notice that the psicha in Vav is addressed to Adonai with the Shema Miyuchad Elohe HaShamayim Ayel HaGadol VaNeira, which is entirely different than Ona Adonai in Pasuk Yud Aleph, which is the Shema of Adnus, which is far more local and direct and willing to deal with HaFeitzim Yirat Shemecha and so on and so forth, asking for the very specifics of Tnei Lerachamim Lifnei HaIsh HaZeh. And the truth is that today we were up to the transition between Ish HaZeh and the next parak, and it's quite amazing on that level, because the first one is referring to something that is just Shemer HaBris VaChesed, and it's going all the way back to Avram Avinu. It's going back to the basic relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. And obviously it needs this amazing transition. And this is exactly what he's trying to do. It's astounding. Look what he's trying to do. Sorry? What?
Sorry, right?
Put yourself on mute. So what he's trying to do here is quite amazing, because when you realize, take a look at what happens. As if he's pointing to him, right? What is that? A comment that's an aside that the Malbim actually learns? Means Yayin Lifanav in Pasuk Aleph, Perek Beis, as a direct continuation of Ani Hayiti Mashkel HaMelech, which is so weird. And that's the pshat. The transition, and this, remember, the Gemara says, is a Gzeirah Shava. Vayi b'chodesh Kislev Shnat Esrim, and Shnat Esrim l'Gzeirah Shava, right? So vayi b'chodesh Nisan Shnat Esrim l'Atakshasta. Chodesh Nisan, from Kislev to Nisan, Nani Hayiti Mashkel HaMelech, what does that mean? We're months before this is going to actually be triggered as a reality. And he's talking as if, there's only one thing that this reminds me of, I gotta tell you. And that is Mordechai Mitalech Lifnei Chatzar HaMelech every single day for 3 years. I don't care. So I am big mitzvah for that moment. That's what I'm waiting. As far as I'm concerned, that's now. Right now. Ani hayiti mashkel HaMelech, which means that the opportunity could come at any minute for all of a sudden that relationship is the mashkel HaMelech, which we saw last week, actually defines his name. That's why he's called Atashat. The heter of Shtia, and the way we understood Ani hayiti mashkel HaMelech, which I think you're going to agree with me. I mean, it's true that none of the Mepharshim say it, and nobody, you know, even considers it, but I think you'll see from the parak that comes that it's mitvakesh me'elav, that what he is saying is, I was the king's drinking partner in a very deep way. We'll see that. If I'm right, so then it means that this is exactly the same way that the Mishnah Yayin of Esther became the makor of the entire Geula. And it was, and she understood, that's what I need to do. I need to create a Mishnah Yayin. And he's saying, my God, I don't need to create a Mishnah Yayin. Every day is a Mishnah Yayin, which is amazing, right? So that means, Alachas Kama V'Kama, that I am in a matzah.
I should be typing all of this.
Ah, typing. Okay. Yeah. Sorry, that's true. So that means that I feel that I am in a matzav that is absolutely unequaled in terms of the shmiras habris v'chesed. I was put into this situation. I understand that the ma'akvim for the Yeshua Shashem are ma'akvim that we throw up. They're not. I don't have to persuade you to want to use this opportunity. That's the whole point of it. That's exactly what Mordechai was saying. That's not my problem. And I know that. And I know that the only ma'akev is the chatoim, is the fact that nothing has changed, is the fact that you've given up on us, and it looks like nobody's ever going to be any different. So first of all, I want to tell you that I'm ready to acknowledge, as we saw last week, I'm ready to acknowledge Aniu Beit Avi Chatanu. I'm ready to acknowledge that. I'm not in any way sticking out with the religious insanity. It's been crazy all along, admittedly. Fine. The Mishpatim and the Chukim Asher Tzivisa as Mesha, the way you were Mitzav as Mesha. You're right, we have no idea, okay? All that we see is the bottom line. Atemtim Alu, Ani Afitzavchem. Okay, so I now want to deal with the bottom line. That's what we said. The Shavtem Elai, I want that to be just as real. Boom. So now, as far as I'm concerned, 5 minutes from now when I walk in, might be that Mishte Ayayin. If you take a look in the Pasuk, in which I'm going to skip for a minute because you're going to see, in Pasuk Beis, Vayomer li amelach madua panecha ra'im v'ata incha choleh, ein zekim ro'a lev, va'ira arbe ma'od. Va'ira arbe ma'od is so strange that Rashi gives a pshat, which again, I don't know why this is true and why it is that the Mefarshim on these Sfarim that haven't been that popular and that haven't been that learned, the pshatim generally are so unsatisfactory in terms of being able to get something out of it. I don't know how to explain that. But I mean, it's a phenomenon that we know. You go through Ksuvim and you go through these later Sfarim, and you like just feel like, what's going on? How come nobody can explain it to us? We know what happened to Divrei HaYamim because the Gemara says that it was Gonus, and we don't have the Midrashim. We don't have the Adrach of Chazal sufficiently to understand what's going on. So of course, it strikes you, what's the Virar Beimaot? So unbelievably, Rashi learns Virar Beimaot because I see that the king suspects me of wanting to murder him. I mean, it's an absolutely amazing thing to say when it's so clear that the Virar Beimaot. We're going to get to Ashegal in a minute. I said I want to skip. And it's easier when you say something than when we have to stop to read it and figure out. It's less obtrusive to say than it is to write. I saw this last week also. You have to stop everything that you're doing, whereas it's very natural to have interruptions in a conversation. That's fine. That's great. You know, that's what this is for. It's a conversation. So it's clear to me, you can make your own judgment, it's clear to me that Vayira Arbe Ma'od means exactly what it mean to you if you had said that opening tefillah. You would have said, oh my God, this is the minute. This actually happened. Oh, what do I do now? This is just like the shock of, I've been waiting this whole time, now it's Nisan. I've been waiting this way since Kislev. As far as I was concerned, it could happen in any minute. When something actually does happen, you're less likely to take it for granted when you're looking at it that way, not more likely. It's an amazing thing that the more prepared you are for the unbelievable opportunity, the more you appreciate the opportunity, the more the terror when, oh my God, this is actually happening to me, what am I going to do? Can I handle this right? And that's when we spoke last week, that's when he suddenly becomes Esther. Im ala melech tov, and you like me. I mean, it's almost the same language, right? That's exactly what he says. You know, in Pasuk Hey, Im ala melach tov, where'd you hear that before? Vim tov anochi, you know, vimitav avdecha lefanecha, a complete quote of Esther. The likelihood that this is the Mishteh Yayin of Esther is so powerful, especially when we are dealing with Esther's son, for one, because this is Daryavesh, and which the shock over here of reading in the Pasuk about the Shegal Yoshevet Lifanav, which we had at the strangest interruption, okay? So there I am, Vayiva Chodesh Nisan, Shnat Esrim Latashtasta, Yayin Lifanav, Yayin Lifanav, what does it mean, Yayin Lifanav? I mean, Hebrew makes no sense. You know, in the Aramaic is like Hebrew of that time. It makes a little sense. You know, not that Heviu Yayin Lefanav, Ani Aveti Yayin Lefanav. It's all very nice to say you could justify it in terms of the language of the time. But for heaven's sakes, why would we write it that way, Yayin Lefanav? So I suggest that the Yayin Lefanav means exactly the issue that we're raising over here. I was waiting for the instant where we would be in the Mishteh Yayin. It was Yayin Lifanav. There it is. There it is. It's that Yayin Lifanav. And in fact, in the language of other Amim that take this, you take a look in Greek, you take a look in Latin, Yayin Lifanav means it's party time. And so indeed, the modern Mefarshim understand Yayin Lefanav as it's party time. Mishteh HaYayin. Mamish, that's the language. Mishteh HaYayin. Yayin Lefanav. You know, I can think of an English equivalent. It's on the tip of my tongue. But I can't remember the exact words. When you actually bring out the wine, is the Yayin Lefanav. But in any event, that is the real transition. Not like the Malbim is trying to put it into one pasuk, which is interrupted by the fact that now it's Chodesh Nisan, which is really... But the very fact that the Malbim feels that you have to say that means that the whole thing is so strange. And here already we're talking about Yayin Lefanav. So he learns, okay, it's one thing, Ani Hayiti Mashkel HaMelech Yayin Lefanav. And it took place in this time that what? That this was the Yayin Lefanav that I was waiting for. So it becomes extremely powerful, right? So there he is, it's Yayin Lefanav. And I pick up this cup of wine, you know, and basically there I am, I guess, doing my job. V'sata Yayin V'tanal HaMelech V'lo Hayiti Ra Lefanav. So, this is such a strange thing. Lo hayiti ra lefanav. So, this is where Rashi learns that I was always very careful to be in a good mood. And that's part of the way you have to act around the melech, basically. So, I was sameach and tov leva, and showing that I was so happy to be serving him, and that therefore, today, when I was depressed, if he says to me, Vayomer li HaMelech, something is wrong. This is how Rashi learns it. Something is wrong. You look like a criminal who's about to murder me. Then, Harbeimah means, oh my God, he's going to kill me. Which, I mean, obviously doesn't tie into the entire thing. I mean, it's an outrageous pshat in terms of the understanding of what's really going on here, right?
So, do we understand why he has a particular mood today? I mean, he's been mitabel already for a couple months, and he only got this position after he started mourning over you, Yitzchak.
Why do you say that? This position? I mean, oh, you don't mean this position and this job. You mean into this pickle?
Yeah. I mean, I'm saying what changed from the beginning of the book. We understand that he's been mourning over Yerushalayim. And didn't he only get the job? It wasn't that what Rebbe was saying, but yeah, you see Mashkel HaMelech is talking about in the future.
No, I didn't say that.
When he came up to Nisan.
No, I didn't say that. Adarab, but that came before Nisan.
Oh, is the previous...
That's part of the tefillah that he says, look, I know that the opportunities are going to open, except I need to persuade HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be noyeg with a midah of adnus to people that just want to be good, and that should not help them. Let's try to work it out. And more important is that the adnus element allows him to speak simultaneously to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to the king, because basically, I mean, that's the Adoni, as Yehuda speaks, where it's really a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tying to some of the Mefarshim. Say Adoni, I mean, he's really going to say Adoni, or he's being Meshtachava really to Yosef. In other words, it's the element of the Malchus. So, loud. His eager question is an amazing question. That's yes, yeah. Yes, 100%. I haven't even begun to. I'm addressing this side point, right? So now the question of why, indeed, does he look like this? So some of the Mefarshim in Achinami learn that he was not really looking bad, worse than he did, lo ayiti ralefanav ever before, and all of a sudden when the king comes up with this, I realize, oh my God, this is such a psicha min hashamayim, I would never have shown him consciously, and apparently he's suddenly become aware of something that wasn't there before. Now the Malbim actually understands that that's the meaning of Ashegal Yoshevet Lefanav. That Ashegal must refer to his mother, Esther. So it's not the queen, his queen, it's the queen. The one that is known all over the world as the sex queen of the world, because obviously you can't just say Shegal. Shegal is such a sexual word. It's the only word in Hebrew that means sex. There's no S-E-X in Hebrew. So Mishgal is sex. Oh, that's exactly what the Ebenezer says. Oh, okay, that seems to be the whole point over here. Vashegal. How else do you understand Vashegal? Where's the... Where is it? Mishgal? Which is really the basis for the Gemara's wild suggestion that it's a dog. Why else would we make something so sexy if it isn't kinky on some level? I mean, why refer to a Malkata as a Shegal? But and therefore it's got to be something kinky. I mean, it can't just be plain sex. And that's the raya that we have. This is a remarkable point. That's the raya that we have, that Koresh turned into a Rosh. So the Gemara asks, I understand, what does that have to do with it? It's Koresh, this is Atar Shasta. Say, well, who Koresh, who Atar Shasta? Which is ridiculous. What is that supposed to be? We know that this is after the reign of Koresh. This is, according to Tosfos, like we mentioned last week, the third year, because the reference to the original binyan, according to everybody else, Tosfos himself says, you know, I mean, the truth is, yeah, it probably doesn't mean that. So it really means 14 years after the binyan of Beis Hamikdash was Dayovish, which it's true, we call him Atar Shasta, of course, because all of the kings were called Atar Shasta, but, I mean, you can't say, therefore, it's the same person? I mean, that's crazy. This is the same person. When the Gemara says, who Koresh, I mean, it's not the same person. So how do we know he changed colors? And will we believe that the Daryovish, the child of Esther, was sleeping with a dog that he kept next to him on the throne? I mean, it's outrageous. It's cuckoo. It's crazy enough to say it about anybody. We're going to say it about Daryovish. What is it supposed to mean, Bichlal? So I mean, clearly that's something we need to address, and it has to do with the fact that when the king acts, and he's not acting as a person. This Daryovish has nothing to do with being the son of Esther. To such an extent that the Gemara even discusses the question of why is it that we accepted help from him. I thought we don't accept from the Goyim. What do you mean from the Goyim? He's a real Jew boy, kosher Jew, son of Esther. What are you talking about, Goyim? And that's where the Gemara's the answer. Once the Malchus commits to something, it's not going to change. Even once the Malchus commits to something. This is Esther's son. He's telling you he wants to build the Beit HaMikdash. I thought that was like the whole issue. A melech is his country. He's not a person. Doesn't matter who he is. When Yosef is speaking, he's not speaking as Yosef HaTzadik. He's speaking as Yosef HaTzadik, the Melech of Mitzrayim, the Mishnah Melech of Mitzrayim. His concerns are the concerns for Mitzrayim. That's what he is. That's what he's become. Obviously, if you speak to me afterwards, I'll tell you my personal point of view. What does it have to do with anything? So, that means if we're able to extrapolate the concept of the Malchus, that if he still has that Shegalifanav, doesn't mean he's been sleeping with her, but it means that we've been looking at a Shegal as a valid thing that he's maintaining. Fine. All right, but then that's a side point. So the Malbim comes along and suggests it's got to be a reference to the world's greatest sex queen, and that was Esther. But the entire world recognizes this is Miss Universe. That was the whole point of Esther. Right? Remember, that's where we make this beauty thing from taking everybody from the entire world, and she's Motzeit Chen Beinei Kol Ro'eha, so everybody's ready to agree, this is Miss Universe. So if we're going to refer to the leadership of the country as a Shegal instead of a Malkita, the reason we would do it is to point out that the original Hashpah of this entire Tkufa that created all of the changes was indeed a Shegal by the name of Esther, a sex queen. That's why we use queen as a sexual intimation even today. It's the opposite of the Malkata. In English, you'd make the queen is the Malkata, that's the Shegal. Not the Shegal, that's the Malkata, which is amazing, right? It's the strangest thing. Isn't it the strangest thing that queen should be the equivalent to perverted sex as the Shegal was to the Malkata? Boy, is that weird. Not as crazy. It's unbelievable when these things happen. Like, what do you think? How did it be the queen? So anyway, but everybody clearly is noteh, and I think the pasuk is mechayev us to understand that's the reason this happened today. What was different today was the fact that the Shegal was Yoshevet Lefanav. Otherwise, what are we into? Mentioning it here of all crazy things. It's clear that the trigger was the fact that it's not just Yayin Lefanav, but that for the first time we're now thinking about something else, as if it's important that the Shegal is there. Since the Shegal is there, obviously, he is apparently sensitive to things that he would not normally have been sensitive to. This seems to be what's going on over here. Okay, maybe, I don't know, but this is my suggestion. So
might that explain his seemingly like his interest in the local? Like, how long is the journey going to be? When are you going to?
Yes, 100%. We're going to see that in the next passage. Exactly. Not only that, it explains it. It's much more than that. It's why he was only going through the motions of asking the questions. So, because if you take a look at what happens over here. The Melech in Pasuk Dalet says, well, you know, maybe we should just go in order once we have already this issue, right? Okay. So then, if the king says to him, Madu apanecha ra'im, v'ateincha choleh, I mean, it's clear to me that there's nothing physically wrong with you, and yet you're looking very haggard. There's something in your heart that's bothering you. Now, the fact that exactly the same thing happened with Yosef HaTzadik when he was in charge of the jail. I mean, that's exactly what he says to the people in the cell. you know, well, how come your panecha are out this morning? Something's bothering you. Maybe you'd want to talk to me, you know? And the psikta actually says, Kein derech hachacham lish'ol l'asher imo, madua panecha mishunot hayom mishar hayom. And this is something we see by Amnon. It's the same question by Amnon. How come you're looking down? His friends tell him. Same thing we find by Nehemiah. Madua panecha ra'im. There's no question that the way to understand it is to connect it back to the real nature of Malchus, which is an understanding of the personal connection, which means a question like this, since its mokar is in Yosef HaTzadik, or more powerfully, the way the Psikta is relating it to Amnon, where it was a sexual question in the first place, it seems clear that what is happening over here is that the king is engaging, because of the Shegal Lefanav, he's engaging with Nehemiah not as the king. In other words, the idea is in exactly the same way that if you were invited into the area where the king is alone with the Shegal, whatever that is, then you understand this is not a normal moment at which I'm going through the court procedures of picking up the wine, tasting it to make sure it isn't poisoned, putting it down in front of him. This is an intimate moment. The king is there, not just with the queen, but with the Shegal, which is a crazy way to refer to a queen, whatever it means, unless it's stressing intimacy, which means that Nehemiah was being let into a completely new environment in which the king suddenly sees his relationship, which is what Nehemiah claimed all along. I'm telling you that I am the king's drinking buddy. That's the bottom line. He cannot let on to that fact when I'm sitting there, people are around, and so on and so forth. But if I'm invited behind the curtain, so to speak, to the Shegal, and by the way, the minhag is that they were not together with the rest of the people. There was always a mechitza that was mafrid at that period. That's the archaeological findings, that during that period they always portray the king behind the mechitza. And which means that the Shegal Lefanav he was alone with. So obviously it's a whole different ballgame. So now the king is asking him on a very intimate level, hey, you know, like, I haven't noticed, but you really don't seem to be looking yourself. Is something wrong? I mean, what king asks that to the guy who tastes his wine and see if it's poison? It's ridiculous. So obviously we have, for the first time, a moment of intimacy in which the king is letting on to what Nehemiah hinted at before. Hey, buddy, what's wrong? And therefore, indeed, when we follow up with, okay, his response, and his response is outrageous according to any other pshat but this. Absolutely outrageous. In which he said, well, why shouldn't I look bad? Why shouldn't I look bad? What kind of answer is that to a king? Well, why shouldn't I look bad? Madua lo yiru panai. Madua lo yiru panecha. Maybe because you got a job. Maybe because you're in front of a great king. Maybe because we couldn't care less about ir beit kvarot avotecha. What the heck is wrong with you, man? Take this guy out to be shot. Can you imagine? Stalin calls you in, you know. He used to do this all the time at his drinking parties. Yeah, so what's up, guys? Well, you know, I'm feeling really down because the Beit HaKvarot, you should know that this, I know personal maisim with Stalin that this happened to. Personal, the person himself. So what happens? The guy was a genius. This is, I think I told you the story about about the happiest almana in history. Remember I told you she's so happy she's an almana? So it was this guy's father that this happened to. It's amazing. Her husband's father. He needed to get to Eretz Yisrael, and he was going absolutely crazy. And it was a whole story. He had a father who was blind, and there was nobody to take care of him. And in those days in Russia, to get there, it's so, you understand, it was absolutely crazy. They threw you in jail the moment you put in the request, right? So what happens? The guy's a genius. He sets up this boat that he's going to get onto at a mamish a particular time, yeah? He asks Stalin. So there were times that you could actually come in or you could send in a ksav, because, I mean, after all, this is the leader of the proletariat. I mean, if somebody, you know, has a concern. Oi, my dear Stalin, you know, my father is blind, and it's the hardest thing for me to leave the Soviet Union. But what can I do? A blind father living in Israel, I really have to get to him. He's old, and there's no one to help him. Of course, says Stalin. Takes a piece of paper, personal signature, accompany this man, make certain that he gets to Israel. Obviously, the minute the guy walks out, he just gives a message to the KGB, have the guy shot tonight. But his guy had it all arranged that he got away before the KGB was even notified. Because he had this boat waiting for him that took him to a point, and he shows he's got a letter from Stalin. What are they going to do? Amazing. Okay. But it sure isn't a smart thing to do to tell Stalin that you've got a father who's old and blind in the land of Israel, does it? So for him to say to Stalin, assuming that this... He knew, he understood totally that obviously this is what was going to happen, that he would be instantly shot, right? I don't know what Raphael, he doesn't know what to do, I guess. So, yes, is that an unbelievable story?
Yeah
obviously from there. Tell Rafi what to do, like right. It's just an amazing story. Amazing. Mamish, all the adventures that, you know, he described and how it is that he got there, what happened, and it's an unbelievable story. But the genius and the chutzpah of actually doing this. Nuts. Hi, Raf. Great to see you, sweetie. So, yeah, I don't know. You didn't see the link that we had sent you? Always check for the link. Don't. Yeah, always check first for the link. All right, so it seems clear to me that the Melech is really acknowledging the fact that, look, I'm worried about you, buddy. What's wrong? And so, when he answers, look at this. When he answers, well, what do you think? Madua lo yiru panai. I mean, anybody in this circumstance, Ashera ir beit kivrot avotai chareva, usharea ukluva esh. What's the king's response? It's astounding. His response is, all right, come on, what do you want? What kind of crazy response? Will you tell me what you want? Stop beating around the bush. What is this craziness here, Avotai? Why shouldn't I be miserable? We're friends. Just, what's the issue? Will you please come up with it? That's like unbelievable, no? What else does that mean? What are you asking? You ain't fooling me. We're close enough for you to tell me what the real issue is. It doesn't have anything to do with your ear, Avotai, and Beit HaKvarot. Come off it, man. So what is going on? So then I was terrified. Oh, my God, this is the real moment. What am I asking for? Oh, God. Okay. So then he says, V'etpalel Elohei HaShamayim, because my communication to the Melech was my speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but not to Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, which was the end. He's going back to Elohei HaShamayim, where he had started the original, because now he's dealing with the Revach Vatzalah, the level of Abris, Vachesed. and so on. So this tefillah is now bringing together the tefillah that started from before, which he had prepared from Kislev. And now I understand, he says, HaMelech Himal HaMelech Tov. This is the way many in the Mefarshim understand, even Kipshutai, that what I was saying to the physical king in front of me, but looking through him to Elohei HaShemayim. Exactly like Chazal or Darish by Esther. That if it says Melech, the Kapon is to Melech Malchei HaMelechim. Amazing thing. So Im Al HaMelech Tov, he actually quotes Esther, V'Nitav Avdecha Lefanecha, because they're two separate issues over here. First of all, look, I'm not asking you for something that violates your principles. I wouldn't do that. That's clear. I don't care what the relationship is. So first of all, this is true by Esther as well. At first, it has to be mekubal to you. If it's mekubal to you, then we can discuss whether you care enough about me, in Esther's case, to allow me to be involved in that tikkun, which is the reason that instead of simply undoing the letters of Haman, the undoing the letters of Haman was only through giving everything into the hands of Esther and through her to Mordechai. Because there was Im Tova Ani Lefanav. That's a different question. The same thing is true over here, understands the Malbim. First of all, Im Al HaMelech Tov, that's the issue without me being involved. This is an objective issue. Is it something that you would want to do to rebuild Yerushalayim? And furthermore, maybe it would even be possible for me to be the one that you appoint to do it. That's a different question. Imitav avdecha lefanecha. And we'll discuss this in a moment. I just want to get to that point that we're looking for, which is the moment at which I was telling Chaim that it's very clear from the pasuk that he wasn't even really interested in asking the questions that he was asking. He was only asking it for HaShegal. Because look what happens. I would want to be sent personally because I have a personal stake. And my personal stake is that it is my personal city. It's Yer Kivrot Avotai. Let me do it. And here we're stressing that Shigal Yoshevet Etzlo, right next to him, right? So tell me, when do you think you'll be leaving? When do you think you'll be coming back? And what happens? There's no answer to that question. Vayitav lifnei HaMelech, the king says, okay, great. Vayishlocheni v'etne lo zman. And then I answered the question. So what do you ask the question then? So what the pasuk is reconstructing is a conversation around the coffee table and the wine table with the Shegal and him. So tell me, so how long do you think you're going to be? When would you plan to leave, you know? Yeah, absolutely, go ahead, you know. Yeah, let me know what's going on. It has nothing to do with the Shlichut per se. It's the construction of the setting of the Shlichut, because it was always Vayitav Lifnei HaMelech before he knew when I'm leaving, when I'm going. That he's just saying because we're basically trying to work this out. You know, my wife's going to ask me, you know, what happened to that nice boy? Where is he and how long is he going for and so on? He's really so sweet. Why'd you let him go? So, okay, fine. So, Vetin El Ozman. This is an amazing transition from Esther, and the way that Nehemiah is so aware of the multiple levels of the of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's haftacha, of the nature of the hashgacha, of seeing the fact that he had this position as being exactly the same as Esther's position with the king. And mi yodea im le'et kazot yigat malchut. There's no question that that's what he's saying. back in Kislev. I mean, what else is he saying? I was the king's mashke. Now, what do you think that means? Here we are in Persia, the Yoresh of Bavel, sitting possibly with Esther Amalka. Here I am with a son, Daryavesh. I mean, man, oh man, there's never been a moment like this before. Again, the historical setting is an amazing historical setting, because remember that the past 14 years have been the result of all of these horrible, horrible manipulations to make certain that there would not be a chance for the Jews to actually rebuild, as we saw last week, the Medina. They should have a spiritual center, and that's it. And Ezra never had the guts to go beyond that because of the fact that the people, as we're going to see later on, very soon, Sanballat and Tovia and so on, had a tremendous amount of influence back in the court. And I must tell you, in terms of the archaeological findings, this is really the case. I mean, Sanballat is mentioned in findings back in the court. Obviously, I mean, his son is mentioned, and with the names, Jewish names that we're going to see later on, there's actually tablets with his name mentioned on it. So there was a lot of serious problems in the continuation of the Sitna, in which, to some extent, it may well be that Daryavesh was in the awful position of being, which you find today, you know, in which if you're a Kissinger, you have to be absolutely clear that you're not pulling strings to do things for the Jews and so on. And the Ketavim, the political Ketavim of warning the king that the Jews are going beyond the Shlichut, that they were never allowed to build anything but the Beit HaMikdash, and they're trying to rebuild Yerushalayim, asking openly for building Yerushalayim is similar to what in the time of Esther. Ad chatzi ha-malchut Esther v'teyas. Ve'lo davar shechotzeh ha-malchut. Ve'lo davar shechotzeh ha-malchut is the Beit HaMikdash. Now, in the contemporary era, all these years later, the davar chotzeh ha-malchut is the building of Yerushalayim. Therefore, what he's saying is tremendous chutzpah. Of course, ve'ira harbe ma'od. I mean, if you think that a job interview, you know, of a grueling 6 hours investigation of what your thoughts are about all of the following things to see if we can give you this $1 million a year job, if you think that is ira ma'od, just imagine what it felt like to deal with the next 3 minutes when you know that you are saying something that has got decades of immense political meaning behind it, and you're trying to reduce the meaning into the actuality of good or no good. Is it okay? Is it tov? I'm asking you to decide, is this tov or not? Forget the goddamn politics. Tell me the truth. What do you believe? And if you think it's tov, okay, so it's the same thing that Esther said. Did she say, are we going to tolerate genocide? Yes, she said, Ima Melech Tov. But then when she talked about herself, she said, how can I see the death of my people? That's exactly what I'm saying. Forget about the issue of good or bad. That's your decision. But this is your Kivrot Avotai, mamish word for word what Esther did. That's what he's saying. Echa uchal ve'er'e. In ear Beit Kivrot Avotai, chareva. Anyway, I don't know that this feels personal to you, but sure as heck does to me. It's just amazing to see the functionality of a Ben Yisrael in this unbelievable situation. Just the totality of the pure Ben Yisrael aspect of it is amazing. That kind of thing is amazing wherever it comes up. It's amazing. And truly unbelievable how often it comes up, and in how many personal ways it comes up, and how many stories, thousands of stories over so many centuries, how it comes up, that deep awareness that people have of the multi-leveled reality in which they live. I wish I had that. I just saw a book about Jews in Hungary written by the gardening columnist, the Washington Post. This is about his grandparents and his family. Gosh, hopefully next time I'll have it. I'm here in Netanya. I don't have it with me. Just amazing, amazing. Exactly this type of thing. Under the pressures of Holocaust, politics, and so on. It's truly something. So if those simple animamis of Holocaust stories, you know, can get to you, I mean, this is just a million times greater in terms of the total humanity of the Ben Yisrael sitting there with the Melech and the Sheigal. My God, what a story. What a vision when it's reconstructed in front of you. You think to yourself, God, this is like where we can get to. You know, and especially if the Sheigal is a dog for kinky sex. Oh, my God. And here you've got Hatarshata, the Chemia, the dog. It's just like, whoa. Amazing. So, all right. I hope I haven't kept you too long. You're not really supposed to keep you over your times. But once again, it gives me a great opportunity to say I love you so much. Wonderful to see your pictures lined up like this. So, so special. So, okay, hopefully we'll continue. And I would like to have your orot about the structure and whether there's other good ideas for what to do and so on. And so that we could, this is all experimental. We're feeling our way towards the type of limud that can be really personal, experiential, and create the type of bond to Torah in which there's a real ability to learn as something that's part of your awareness rather than just talk and so on, like we spoke about on Hashana Rabbah, the sense of the contrived about the intellectual and so on. Very important, which is why I try to, you know, make it something that's just pure heart. So, you know, it's easy, something like this is going to be harder as we go along and get to things like senses and things like that. But we have to keep searching.